That music can mean only one thing, that the gurus of how to are here, Alvin and Lawrence U. Bell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, it's been a 5-week hiatus.
But you haven't been here for fun. Well, that's because we had fundraising in the middle.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to confuse you with the fundraisers.
And
that kind of stuff really confuses us.
Yes, everybody.
Then we have to give out 2 phone numbers and it gets weird.
Yeah,
but anyway, we're happy to see you back.
You mean the monetary numbers mix up with the mechanical numbers?
Yes.
You can't do that. No way.
We have had a string of rainy days. It's been amazing. Nothing really heavy rain, but day after day, mm-hmm. and if we're lucky, it's usually after midnight, we've had rain.
That's right.
And for something like 2 weeks.
And my roof leaks now.
And your roof leaks.
Yes, I got a roof.
But you know how to fix it.
Yes, I got a leaky roof.
Yeah, we're definitely going to send him up on a 2-story building. that's my idea of being a good son.
Yes. He's looking forward to the Arusha.
Now, is that typical that when you get a lot of rain like this, eventually a roof starts leaking?
It's when it's old, it starts to leak.
That's the secret.
Yes, I think your roof has got to be close to 25 years old now.
At least 20. Yeah, this is going to be this will be the third roof on the house.
On the building.
Since we built it.
And why do roofs leak? Is it simply that they weren't done correctly the first time?
Well, it's leaking on the southerly side, and that gets the beating of the sun and everything else. And what happens is particles start to deteriorate, and the wind blows. And we live right next to the ocean, so we get a little bit of heavy breezes every so often. And that picks up the shingles,
But also, it's not that it wasn't done originally. It's everything breaks or deteriorates eventually, and a roof of a pitch roof building usually has a life expectancy of about 20 years if it's put in properly, and they've gotten more than that.
You're looking 21.
What?
21 years.
Does it matter whether it's a pitch roof or a flat roof?
Well, actually, pitch roofs tend to last a little bit longer because they have a little bit more overlap. Flat roofs, flat roof is actually a misnomer. If you talk in the biz, it's actually called a low-slope roof. There are high-slope roofs and low-slope roofs.
Right, I've worked on the roofs of apartment houses, and there's no slope.
There is a slope.
Because they're in Park Slope?
That's one reason. Or as we like to call it, us people own cars, no Park Slope. But
double Park Slope.
Double Park Slope or alternate Park Slope. But all roofs have some pitch because you got to get the water off of them. If they have no pitch at all, they would just pond and water would sit there. And that's bad also because that creates more dead weight on the roof itself and causes the materials to wear out. But a flat roof does tend to wear out a little quicker because it really doesn't get any shade from the sun and it has usually less layers. These days, people with flat roofs, one of the things we encourage people to do is resurface them with a reflective coating, and that tends to give you more time with the roof. You can't really do that with a pitch roof because it would really look terrible. But roofs do wear out, and it's like tires on a car.
Yeah, but the roofs that really last a long time are the slate roofs, the terracotta tile roofs, the asbestos shingled roofs. They have a great longevity.
Are we still using asbestos shingles? Well,
yes, for that type of purposes, that's still being manufactured.
You can still use asbestos. Asbestos is not an illegal product, but the problem is why people are shying away from it is that when you eventually do have to replace it and get rid of it, then you have to actually do a removal. And the removal, even people removing asbestos shingles from siding shingles to get rid of that, you have to file all the proper paperwork and do a proper removal with certified people, else the city will come down and fine you thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you have to have a chain of possession. It's yours.
Now you're getting too much into the minutiae. Saying it has to be done properly.
Well, but I'm wondering about those red tile roofs that you see in southern cities.
Yes.
Would they work just as well here?
Yes, and we do have them here.
Yes, if you take a look in Queens, in certain areas of Queens, they have whole communities that have a mandate that you must use those red tile or orange tile shingles.
Those curbs.
Now, let me just say one thing about pitch slate. Pitch tile, which Forest Hill Gardens, that's a community which has that kind of shingles. Jamaica Estates have a lot of that. Is that people say this is a lifetime product, and that is true. One lifetime. Okay, they do wear out. Slate shingles have about a 70 to 80 year life expectancy.
But people are living longer these days, Larry.
Well, still, one.
Yeah, but also
they're like parrots. Okay,
well, what happens is sometimes sometimes things will fall on the roof and crack the shingles and everything else, the slates or the tiles or everything, and then they have to be repaired. But if no impact occurs on them, they have an unbelievable longevity.
And the last thing that actually wears out is actually the copper flashing. And the copper flashing does have a particular life expectancy. It does oxidize. It does deteriorate. And those things do have to be replaced.
Our number here is 212-433-9692 if you want to get in the conversation. If you have a question for the gurus of how to. You can also write a comment, a question on a show page at WNYC.org. Go to our website, WNYC.org, and look for the Low Page Show. We also, when the gurus visit us, have a quiz. And we have a new quiz this time, right?
Yes, I think this was written for you.
For me?
Yes, because it is very
If you think they didn't get last month, wait till you hear this month.
This one is an architectural kind of concept, and I invite all of the architects and engineers that are our radio friends, if you know the answer, call in, because this is really
complicated. This is difficult.
It's difficult, but it's part of the architectural
ambience. So who's going to read it?
You got
it. I'm going to read it?
It's yours.
Okay. Name the Greek-Roman architectural space. That means Greek or Roman, right?
Yes.
Because it began in Greece and then the Romans picked it up. Greek and Roman architectural space that describes an area designed for athletes and citizens to exercise during inclement weather. Such areas are portrayed as long roofed over colonnades or tree-lined walkways. Okay. If you know the answer, and believe me, I have never seen this word before.
Lawrence didn't believe me. He looked
at
it.
I had to go to the Google machine.
The number, 212-433-9692. And don't write it in to our show page. I'll get there. Don't write it because we have to take the call on the air, right?
Let's go. Yes.
Should we take some calls?
Yes. Let's go.
Okay. Our first caller is Nancy from Brooklyn. Hi, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you.
What's up?
I need to know the name of an item that goes over a downspout or a drain. It allows water in, but it keeps large objects out. And I need one, can't buy it, because nobody knows what I'm talking about.
It's really called a grate or a screen.
But let me ask you a question. What kind of – you have a pitch roof or a flat roof?
I have a flat roof.
I think you're really looking for a scupper.
That
the scupper is the part where the water collects, and inside the scupper you can put a screen to keep the dirt and debris from going down the downspout.
Yeah, sometimes they use what is known as hardware cloth, which has square half-inch holes in it that is shaped to fit inside the scupper.
But,
and that catches
the thing about the scupper is what the scupper does is an open-air top of the downspout. So the water from the flat roof will go into the scupper, and then the scupper is connected to the downspout, and inside the scupper you can put a screen.
It's like a very big...
But you know what I saw
so
the other...
So wait, have you heard the word scupper before, Nancy?
No, I never have.
Okay, well, now you have a word to use.
But I have to say, I just saw something the other day that was really cool. It was an attachment on a downspout that is clear, and it lifts up. It has a screen in it, and it lifts up so you can see when it's clogged, and you lift it up and clear out the dirt and then put it back down again. I don't know what it's called, but I should have taken a picture of it, but it was very cool.
But for those people who heard the word scupper, what it is almost like a square type or rectangular type of funnel. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
Oh, funnel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That I understand.
Okay.
And I've tried several hardware stores.
Well, now go in and say,
well, actually,
say
this,
scupper.
Scupper. But this kind of thing, you would actually have to talk to a roofer / gutter and leader installer to put one in. It's going to be, I would imagine, difficult for you to climb up a ladder and put this thing in place.
Thank you.
Or hang over the edge.
You're right. Someone's going to have to do this.
Thank you for your call. Our number here, 212-433-9692. You can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. My guests are the gurus of how to, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell. I'm Leonard Lopate. And we take now a call from Melissa from Valley Cottage in Rockland County. I used to live there.
Yes.
On Route 303. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
What's up?
My property, I have about half acre, and if you're facing the house, the whole thing grades down toward a natural floodplain that hasn't been built on. So there's a stream and woods in my backyard. So the whole backyard slopes down toward that area.
Okay.
And with the hurricane that happened this year and all the rains, it's just been saturated. And if you're looking at my house, the rain goes down, not to my house. I've never had flooding problems in my house. But if the rain goes, streams down the right side of the house, tends to go that way. And halfway down the backyard, there's a sinkhole that's forming now. And so I don't know how to proceed. And
What do you do with a sinkhole is the question.
You know, when some, in fact, I got a couple of calls this week about the conditions that are happening around people's property. And for us to give you an evaluation over the telephone is or over the radio is very difficult. We have to visually see the whole terrain, see what's going on.
What causes a sinkhole?
Yeah, but that's actually a good question. And usually in that type of environment, it's usually because they've buried something during construction. Usually it's
that's true.
It could be a stump. It could be wood debris, and that wood debris has deteriorated and has fallen and has rotted and insects, termites have eaten it up, and it's just turned back into nature. But it took up more room before, and now it takes up a lot less room, and now it has a cavity around it, and then the soil collapses around it. One of the things that I would probably do if you just want to take this thing and do it on your own is actually get a load of gravel and fill the sinkhole up with gravel.
Yeah, with
just
gravel, stones, and
anything like that, any kind of inert material, and just keep filling it up. And see what happens then. Make the hill above it higher, so when it settles down, it will be level. And leave it alone like that for a while and see what happens and see if the soil fills in around it. And let it go at that point. But you do need to fill it in of some sort, because some kid is going to walk into it, and that's going to be horrible.
Thank you for calling us, Melissa.
That was a good one.
Lauren from New Rochelle.
Hi, how are you? Leonard, a pleasure. Always love listening to you.
What's up?
Gentlemen, I have a major problem in my roof. It's a sloped...
We're both in the same category. Go on.
I have a sloped slate roof.
Yeah.
And there are gutters running on each side.
Right.
And every time it rains, the rain seems to get in between the gutter and go into the rooms that I have above. And I don't have any... insulation inside the roof line. It was taken out because I finished the attic, and there was no insulation put on top of the room either.
Mm-hmm.
So in the wintertime, all the snow melts and drips through the gutter,
right,
where the gutter and the roof line is.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summertime, when it rains heavily, like just now, I've got two rooms right now. My two daughters are basically, the roofs are filling up with mold, and I've got water running down the windows, and I'm just wondering, is there any way that I can seal up if there's any space between...
Sealing up is generally not going to work, because it the roof line, or where the water comes off the top of the roof itself, is not in the middle or in the quarter section of the gutter below. So what happens is the water is running back. The other thing is you may have a process called damming that is... quite common, and the gutter fills up with water and runs back underneath the shingles. So maybe the gutters are too high. Sometimes the gutters have to be dropped down a little bit below the fascia board or the fascia board where the roof actually ends. There's a whole detail of that in a book called Architectural Graphic Standards by Ramsey and Sleeper. It's a Wiley publication. It's in every library in the country that I know of. And you could see the detail on how the gutter configuration should be in order to prevent the malady that you are describing.
So I shouldn't extend my roof line?
No, I was thinking of another idea. That one is lowering the gutter, and that will help during the wintertime. But in the summertime, it seems to me that, and actually the thing is that the removal of the insulation is actually causing the ice dams. You need to actually the insulation there, because what happens is the warmth from the building melts the snow, and then it refreezes, and that's what's causing the ice dam.
Well, I've had three roofers come in and three guys that fixed supposedly my gutters, and each guy said something different about whether I should actually have insulation inside the roof or against the room that it's built.
Well, anyway, as far as these three guys, Everything that I've been taught in home inspection biz and by roofers is that you are supposed to have insulation on the top floor. But let's not get into that. The other problem is that it's leaking now, and insulation doesn't have anything to do with it. My feeling is that the flashing at the edge of the roof has completely deteriorated, not even there. And I would try, actually, if you could, to slip some aluminum flashing material, which you could buy in rolls from a hardware store, and try to slip it underneath the shingles at the bottom of the roof and see how far up you can actually slip that material. And if you can get it at least the thickness of the material, which is usually about 12 inches thick, that might actually fix the problem.
If the nails are, don't let it.
That's what I'm saying. If the nails are not obstructing, but yeah. Nails on shingles are usually at least 12 to 18 inches up the shingle.
Slate
roof, yes.
Yeah.
Lauren, thank you so much for your call. Before we go to our little break, a listener asks, how can you get rid of damp odors in a wood house by the beach?
A dehumidifier.
It's simply that.
That's simply, you just got to get a dehumidifier, set it to 50%, have it drain constantly into a drain so you don't have to interact with it. And I guarantee you, you'll get the moisture smell out of your house. But you got to run it all the time. Not that it has to be on all the time, but not that it's running all the time, but it has to be on like a heating system. Mm-hmm. Heating systems are not all the time. They're just active all the time. So you need to keep the humidity level at around 50-55%, and you'll get rid of all your problems.
And a reminder that we have a quiz in effect. Name the Greek and Roman architectural space that describes an area designated for athletes and citizens to exercise during inclement weather. As today, such areas are portrayed as long roofed over colonnades or tree-lined walkways. And our number is 212-433-9692. Our guests are the gurus of how-to, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. Stay with us for more. We're back with the gurus of how to, Al and Larry Ubell, taking your calls at 212-433-9692. And we have one intrepid listener who thinks that, I don't know if this is a man or a woman, but we'll find out soon, whether this person knows the answer to the quiz, the Greek or Roman architectural space. Well, I'm not going to read the whole thing again. But Shari, what do you think it is?
You know, I pay my dad by the word. You know that, right?
Is it gymnasium?
No. Can I say no?
No, it's not that.
I thought a gymnasium is a closed space, isn't it?
Yes, it's an enclosed thing.
Yeah. He didn't look that one up.
Okay. Well, but it isn't gymnasium. Thank you so much for your call, for your attempt. A listener, Laura, on the Upper West Side, asked, can air conditioners stay in place for their useful life, or should they be sent out for cleaning on a regular schedule?
Well, I'm not as far as the cleaning is concerned, I mean, that you can do in your own bathtub. You know, make sure you protect the bottom of your bathtub with some towels or something. I'm just not inclined to keeping them in their place because they create a heat loss during the winter. They create a insect problem if you don't seal up the space between the sashes. And generally speaking, it's not great for the window. So that's why I'm into taking them out. But most people don't do that. But as far as cleaning...
But you still say they should be cleaned every
They should season. Be cleaned at least once a year, once every 2 years. More than that, you're kind of being neglectful.
And then you should wash the filters on a regular basis.
Filters should be even at the beginning of the season and then check it sometime around middle of July.
And I just use plain dish detergent.
Yeah. Dish detergent, shampoo.
Shampoo is great.
Shampoo works well.
Yeah, but then you got to use the conditioner.
Only if your filters are not manageable.
they don't curl right.
George thinks he knows the answer to the quiz. What do you think it is, George?
What's up, George?
George, I think it's the peristyle or the peristylum.
No, not
Not what he's looking for.
Yeah. All those wonderful architectural friends I have out there that are listening, come on, open up a book and take a look.
Andrew from Putnam County, what do you think it is?
Stoa.
What is that?
A Stoa, he says.
Stoa.
No.
From the Stoic philosophers, I think they walked on, they did their work under the...
Well, we're looking for the athletic philosophers.
Yeah. I thought maybe it was a dual use. No,
wrong country, wrong Stoa. Okay, now we got Richard from Lawrenceville, New Jersey. Hi.
What's up?
Palestra? Is
Palestra.
It Palestra?
Palestra. No?
Not even close.
So. Ah!
Sorry.
Oh, well.
But thanks for playing.
Rosalie in Garden. We'll get more answers.
Yes.
Why don't you read it this time?
Oh. Name the Greek and or Roman architectural space that describes an area designed for athletes and citizens to exercise during inclement weather. Such areas are portrayed as long roofed over colonnades or tree-lined walkways.
Okay, let's take another call. Howard from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up? You're on the air.
I have a bathtub that when it was built, the building was built, they didn't put enough concrete underneath the bottom.
Yeah.
Frankly, the bathtub cracked at the bottom.
Is it a wait, is it a plastic tub?
I'm sorry?
Is it a plastic tub?
Or a cast iron tub?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's porcelain or...
Well, it's not. Well, they didn't make... Go on.
That thing that's advertised on television, that spray, that rubber spray.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought that. I figured I'd give it a chance cheaper than buying a new bathroom.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if you know anything about it, because I noticed that I had put a rubber mat over it after it was dry and finished. And I noticed in one part of it where that longest indent was, it's gotten to be a different color than the rest of the bathtub mat. So I
have to tell you, if a tub is cracked, I can't imagine that anything is actually going to fix it. How old is this tub?
How old is it?
20 years, 30 years, 50?
50 years?
25 years.
25 years.
That's not an old tub. That's
really not an old tub.
It depends upon whether it's
you know what?
Cast iron.
It could be probably a steel tub, and those do rust out. So anything that you're doing right now is basically just gluing it. This steel tub is made from the same material that a car fender is made out of, and you know how many 25 and 30 year old cars you see on the road. So it's probably going to be about time for you to replace the tub, unfortunately, because any kind of patch like this eventually is going to start to leak again or crack again anyway. One thing I do want to encourage people is that when they buy a tub, make sure they buy the right tub. I've been doing a lot of inspections lately where contractors are installing these plastic tubs that don't have tile lips on them. And you need to have a tile lip on the edges of the tub if it's going into an enclosure. So that's very important to make sure you pick the right tub.
And also another thing about tubs. By far, the best tubs are the cast iron tubs.
They
far outweigh the plastic or the steel.
We have some more people who think they know the answer to the quiz. Pat from New Jersey, what do you think it is?
Portico?
No. But,
okay.
That's...
but you want to know something? The portico is similar to this. In architectural entities, but a portico generally is at an entrance to a structure.
Okay.
Go on.
Thank you. Okay, we have David from Randolph, New Jersey.
What's up?
I think it might be a loggia.
A loggia? Not. That's another part of a building that is in a different area. That's usually in a courtyard area, but not this. This is like an open area where columns go along the one side, and it's roofed over so people can run back and forth, or it's just a tree-lined path that goes over and has the same Greek or Roman name.
Okay, how about Philip from Eastchester?
Hi, Philip.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what's up?
It's a Xystos. It's X-Y-S-T-O-S.
Say that again for our audience.
Well, there could be a couple of spellings, but the best one is probably X-Y-S-T
T-O-S.
Right.
Or maybe in Latin it would be T-U-S.
That's right.
And how do you know this?
Well, I heard you ask the question. I knew it began with an X, and so I Googled it.
So he uses the Google machine, too.
Yeah, but he knew that it started with an X, which is pretty good.
Yes.
It's a system, also a Zistus or Zistos. Or any one of those names would be correct in either Greek or Roman in the Latin term of it.
So tell him what he wins.
Oh, yes, see what he wins. He gets my book called The Save Energy, Save Money by George Merlis and Al Ubell. That'll show you how to save energy, money, and do it safely.
And we're going to put you on hold, Philip, so that you can give your address to my producer. Okay?
Terrific, and thanks so much.
No problem.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
For knowing this very obscure thing.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Rosalie in Garden City writes, I have a house built in 1956 that has radiant heating in the ceiling. The pipes running throughout the ceiling are copper. The heat works beautifully. However, one of the copper pipes is leaking and has caused the plaster ceiling to crumble. We need to fix the leak and ceiling. Every time we call a plumber, he's dumbfounded by our system and recommends we put a whole new heating system into our house. We want to keep the system because it works so well. What would you recommend?
I so relate to Rosalie because I have an older heating system, a gravity hot water system, and anytime anyone sees it, oh, don't you want to put a pump in? And I go, no, why do I want more problems? And I agree with her, but you know what? She's got to find a plumber who's not so interested in trying to make money off of selling her a new heating system, which basically the repair that she's talking about will probably end up costing anywhere between $200-$400, maybe $500, as opposed to putting in a whole new heating system, which may also have to be domestic hot water, which now she's talking $6,000 to $10,000. So depending on what kind of system she puts in. I think she should just try to keep calling around to plumbers to find ones who actually are not trying to sell her something she doesn't need and fix what she has. One of the great resources is Angie's List. They have great reviews of different plumbers and repair persons who, you know, and if they're not great, they have reviews of that too. And it really is a great way to find. But, yes, I encourage her to try to keep
the system. It's pretty easy to fix a leak, isn't it?
It is. I mean, if it's copper piping, I mean, all you have to do is drain the system. And now's a great time to do it because we don't need heat. Drain the system, cut the pipe, put in a sleeve or a uplink there, and get it back going again. The whole repair minus the repair of the ceiling is probably about an hour to 2 hours worth of repair time.
And then you just got to fix the ceiling.
Yeah, so you're going to pay for two people, the plumber and his assistant, and the time it takes to bring the system down and then bring it back up again. No, stick with your guns here and try to find the right plumber.
John from Paramus, hi, you're on the air.
How you doing? I have a concrete driveway that has to be replaced. I was wondering, do you recommend concrete or macadam?
I'm a big believer in the concrete. I think the concrete has greater longevity. But since it is a driveway, don't let them talk you into 4 inches. Go to 5 and 6 inches. Mm-hmm. Then you'll have a driveway that'll last a long time. Also, he should put in some reinforced wire into the concrete and give you a substantial amount of expansion joints so that when it does deflect, whatever the reason is, it'll deflect along the expansion joints.
Exactly. Depending on how big there are, you can go to the Portland Cement website. They'll tell you what the specifications are, but no concrete that is being used for cars or a driveway or road should be less than 6 inches in thickness. Never,
you ever,
ever.
Concrete stamping?
Pardon?
I ever hear of concrete stamping, you know, how they stamp the concrete to make designs? Did you ever hear of that?
Yeah. What about it?
Is that any good? Or
it's fine. It won't affect the concrete. Just one thing is that the first season after you pour the concrete, do not use salt. Do not use any calcium chloride. Don't use anything on it. I mean, I know that might be dangerous, whatever. You could throw some sand on it. That's fine. But don't do anything of
any chemical.
Any chemical.
The crystallization takes A year until it
takes
reaches.
That long, really,
actually,
to
a
harden.
Year? 7 years.
Well, it takes a year until it reaches its perfect strength.
Right.
But then it keeps getting stronger for several years.
Yes.
And so that's there's a chemical reaction called water of crystallization, and it takes time.
But you're saying make it reinforced concrete.
Reinforced concrete. And if this is a double width driveway, your chef definitely need expansion joints, at least every car width of concrete. So every 10 feet, there should be at least one
expansion joint right down the middle.
And then maybe a couple horizontally.
Thank you for calling us. Paul from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul.
Hi. I have two questions. The first one's electrical.
Just one question, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're running out of time. What's the electrical one?
What? I just bought a Friedrich Kuhl KUHL air conditioner, and it was installed on the top part of a sash window.
Right.
And the manufacturer gives ratings on circuits, so here's the problem. It's mm-hmm. The only dedicated line I have, and that will accommodate the 6 foot supply cord,
yeah,
is rated at 20 amps.
Right.
And the manufacturer says no way, you can't do that. So, can I use a surge protector?
Wait. What is the amperage that the system calls for?
Right, 15, and the wall outlet is rated at 20.
Wait. He's confused. What is the air conditioner rated at?
How many amps is that?
Oh, 6.1.
Oh, then you can plug it in. What's the problem?
Well, Friedrich Technical Support explained to me on the phone that, down the road, maybe after a couple of years plus, there could be a loose wire or, contacts, being made by two pieces of metal in the machine. The air conditioner might draw too much power from the circuit, and I could burn out a motor.
That doesn't reassure us very much about their product, does it?
The thing is, I don't know how long and how far away you are, and I don't know the exactly amperage load and the startup load of what that air conditioner can be. But if it only has like a 10, 15 amp load, then an extension cord that is for 20 amps would be appropriate.
We have run out of time. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of good questions that came in. We couldn't get to all of them.
Right.
So people can write to you, Larry?
Yes, they can write to me. And if I don't answer them, they can write me again, because I've been very busy, knock on wood, with doing home inspections.
You mean you actually try to make a living?
People don't believe
that.
Yeah, people think I'm not here. But anyway, they should email me at larry@accuratebuilding.com or larry@ubell.com or check out our website, www.accuratebuilding.com.
And you're going to be back next month?
Yes, where we're going to show all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, money, and
do it safely.
Al and Larry Ubell, Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York.